Differing Things is a podcast which focuses on how far religion has deviated from the Bible and its words correctly divided. This deviation has had a devastating effect on society. This podcast will cover many topics, both spiritual and current, to draw our listeners closer to their Savior. Now for our host, Bill Petrie.
Greetings. I am Bill Petrie, and I want to invite you to follow us on Instagram. Through Instagram, we will keep you informed about future Differing Things topics. Our thread is at Differing Things Podcast. So please don't forget to follow us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 in the Universal Version Bible reads, "In addition, brothers, I declare to you the evangel which I proclaimed to you, which also you have received, and in which you abide, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I proclaimed to you, unless you believed in vain. For I conveyed to you as of first importance what also I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In today's world, we must ask, does the resurrection of Jesus Christ matter? Does it truly make a difference? The Apostle Paul sure thought so. In writing to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was faced with the startling news that some in Corinth denied the future resurrection of the body. Such a view was adopted by many in the Greco-Roman world. Death was the end. Not much has changed since the first century. Today, the same view is held by skeptics of the faith. What was so shocking, however, is that in Paul's day, some Christians who affirmed the bodily resurrection of Jesus nonetheless denied the future resurrection of the body. Paul responds with boldness, arguing that you cannot have one without the other. If there is no future resurrection for believers, then Christ himself has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then everything changes. Let us explore the consequences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the Christian life. The first thing I want to point out is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is inseparable from the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul begins by reminding his brothers of the gospel I preached to you, by which you are being saved, in verse 2. This gospel or good news or evangel that Paul states revolves around the death of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, in verse 3. Christ died. He died as a sin sacrifice for people's sins, and he died as the Scriptures revealed he would. These facts received constant reaffirmation in the early preaching of the church. Jesus Christ died as the sacrifice for our sins, not only to forgive, but also to free people from their sins. Paul's extreme agitation at the Corinthians' sinfulness is because they are thereby persisting in the very sins from which God in Christ has delivered them. The language for our sins is a direct reflection of the Septuagint of Isaiah chapter 53. Since Judaism did not interpret this passage messianically, at least not in terms of a personal Christ, and since there is no immediate connection between the death of Jesus and the idea that his death was for our sins, the individual who makes that connection and elaborates on it could be said to be the founder of Christianity. This, my friends, is the Apostle Paul. After the Apostle Paul talks about the death of Christ, he speaks of burial. Burial is important to us believers. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state, "Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We then were buried together with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from among the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also should be walking in newness of life." The idea is that we are identified with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And this baptism is into his death, burial, and resurrection. The element in this passage is very clearly not water, but rather it is death, baptized into his death. Pay close attention. The element in this baptism is stated to be death, not water. It is very clear that this baptism is not some ritualistic water ceremony, but a spiritual event that takes place the second one believes into Jesus Christ, which then places us into the body of Christ. This burial thus becomes the mark of identification for the believer. Paul began his explanation of the believer's relationship to sin by explaining the implications of our union with Jesus Christ. Just read Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 through 14. He had already spoken of this in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, regarding our being declared righteous. But now, he showed how that union affects our sanctification. The apostle referred to Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in this section. Seen from the viewpoint of his sacrifice, these events did not involve the believer's participation. Jesus Christ alone endured the cross, experienced burial, and rose from the grave. Nevertheless, his work of redemption was not only a sacrifice, but also representative. It is in this respect that Paul described believers as identified with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection in the following verses. Paul previously introduced the idea of Christ as our representative in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Sin has no further claim on Christ, because he was the perfect offering and sacrifice for sin. Sin no longer has a claim on us because he died as our sacrifice and offering. We are free from sin's domination because of our union with Him. This is Paul's line of thought, and it obviously develops further what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Christ did not remain dead. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures in verse 4, before appearing to His disciples. Have we, as gospel-centered, gospel-saturated believers, left the resurrection out of our gospel message? I know the majority of Christendom is guilty. How many times do we have an opportunity to share with an unbeliever and not once mentioned in any depth the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Paul teaches us that we must come to grips with the biblical reality that the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be divorced from the death of Jesus Christ when we speak about the gospel. Should we separate the two, we will seriously miss the significance of the resurrection for our salvation. As scholar Thomas Schreiner states, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection are inseparable in affecting salvation. My second point, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fuel that ignites our preaching to a lost world. Ask yourself this: would your preaching look any different if Christ had not risen from the dead? If your answer to that question is no, then there is a serious problem. For Paul, the resurrection of Christ made all the difference in the world when it came to preaching. If Christ has not been raised, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, and if Christ has not risen, it follows that what we proclaim is a delusion, and that your faith also is a delusion. The reason is simple. You would be misrepresenting God. For you are preaching that He raised Christ when He did no such thing, in 1 Corinthians 15:15. In short, if Christ did not rise from the grave, we have no good news. Belief in bodily resurrection is foundational to the Christian faith. If the resurrection of the body is impossible, then the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes fiction. If He did not rise, the apostles' preaching rested on a lie, and consequently, the Corinthians' faith would have been valueless and misplaced. This is the first in a series of conditional statements that run through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19. They are first-class conditions in the Greek text, which express the assumption of reality for the sake of the argument. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13, Paul did not express disbelief in the resurrection of the dead. He assumed there is no resurrection to make a point. This was his tactic in verses 14, 16, and 17, and verse 19. Which brings me to my third point: the resurrection of Jesus Christ saves. Perhaps the most sobering statement Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 15 is found in verse 17. It states, "And if the Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still imprisoned by your sins. Paul repeated his line of thought contained in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, in different terms. We could be stating it this way: if Christ was still dead and in the grave, then confidence in him for deliverance is futile. This means the believer is still dead in his or her sins. He or she is without any expectation of forgiveness or aeonian life. Believers who had already died would be perished. The denial of their future, that they are destined for resurrection on the basis of Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection, is the net effect of a denial of their past, that they have received forgiveness of sins on the basis of that death, burial, and resurrection. Paul evidently meant that given the Corinthians' position, the believer has no future of any kind. Perished probably has this meaning, since even though they denied the resurrection, they were baptizing for the dead in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29. It seems unlikely that they would have done this if they believed that death ended all. So often, we limit our understanding of salvation to the death of Christ. And certainly the death of Christ, as Paul stated in Romans chapter 3, verses 25 through 26, is the very basis of our justification. It is through his one act of righteousness, the propitiation by his blood, that sinners are declared righteous in God's sight. But there is more, much more to be said. Not only does the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ save, but so also does his resurrection. For example, Paul states in Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, that like Abraham, we are accounted righteous, for we believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. By raising Jesus from the dead, God declared his satisfaction and approval of the sin sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf, for our sins, on the cross. And as those who are in Christ, God's approval of Jesus Christ's sacrificial death demonstrated in raising Jesus from the dead is likewise directed towards us, so that when we believe, we receive the favor or grace of God. Therefore, our justification is a real consequence of Jesus Christ's resurrection. No wonder Paul can say that, and if the Christ has been raised, and if the Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still imprisoned by your sins. In verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15. And if we are still in our sins, we have no confidence, no assurance of our salvation whatsoever. It is no overstatement to say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ saves. In my fourth point, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basis for our future hope and expectation. How practical Christ's resurrection is, precisely because Christ has been raised, we can tell those looking into the casket of their loved ones that this is not the end of the story. Even though loved ones have fallen asleep, they have fallen asleep in light of Christ's sacrificial work. And since all humanity will be united to this resurrected Christ, they have not perished. But their soul has gone into the grave, into the unseen, the body to the grave, and the spirit returns to God. And they await that day when they will receive their resurrected body. As Paul tells the Corinthians, Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of that great harvest to come. Though death came by the first Adam, and the second Adam shall all be made alive, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. In context, it is the same all who were in Adam. Apart from the resurrection of Christ, we have no future hope or expectation. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if our expectations centered in Christ in this life, we of all men are most to be pitied. But since Christ has been raised, we are those who can look death in the face, knowing that it has no final victory, no lasting sting, just as 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 55 tells us. I love how the Apostle Paul ends 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58 reads this way, so that my beloved brothers be firm, immovable, superabounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not without fruit in the Lord. Because Christ is risen, we, as those who are in Christ, have every assurance that our labor in sharing this gospel of the risen Christ is not pointless or without purpose, but will matter for all the eons. Therefore, do not forget this Easter that the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Without it, we have no gospel, no salvation, no saving message, and certainly no future hope and no future expectation. We would truly be hopeless. Good day, and God bless.
We want to thank you for listening to this week's Differing Things podcast. If you would like to get more information about the Bible, please check out our website, www.beacon-ministries.org. Do not forget to join us next week for a new Differing Things podcast.